Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from over at FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And today we are talking about a guy who, he might be QB1, Trevor. I'm not going to reveal yet because I'm not totally certain yet. I got to sit down, really study up Baker Mayfield, but I got away from Josh Rosen after the beginning of the season. You know, I saw him, I watched him play in the Texas A&M game. He led him back. It was a great comeback. I did not think his performance was great in that game. I was worried about his arm. I was worried about his deep ball. And I didn't know how things would progress. Because remember, the offseason, the shoulder issues and the nerves, and there were questions whether his arm would ever be the same. So I really didn't watch much Josh Rosen over the second half of the season, saying, you know, and when we talked about quarterbacks, I would always say, I need to see more Josh Rosen. Sat down, watched five or six of his games this past weekend, and really impressed. I think his arm came back. I think he's got the velocity. I think he's got the tools. I think he's sharp. He's mechanically one of the more sound quarterbacks to come out in years. I'm a big fan of what he offers. I think he's a franchise-changing type quarterback at the top of the draft now that his arm has come back, and I think he's settled into a role despite the fact the rest of his offense was pretty much a mess. Now, I think he settled into his role really nicely this season.
Yeah, no, I mean that's why we kind of wait. You know, that's why they don't have the draft in September, right? So, you know, we get an opportunity to see these guys, get a much bigger sample size. And like you said, you know, Rosen was coming back. It was kind of a different deal for him. He had some shoulder things he had to work out with his injury and getting his, like you said, his arm strength back. And I'm interested to hear what you have to think after watching him, because the beginning of the year, you know, there were comeback games and big moments that he had, but there were also, like I had read at one point, no quarterback in the country had more balls that should have been intercepted that weren't intercepted than like Rosen or and Darnold was right there as well. So when people hear that narrative, they immediately kind of, I don't want to say write a guy off, but they almost do. So when you've watched him, what did you see outside of that narrative about him?
I thought that early in the season that was definitely true, and I bet that those numbers were inflated from a game like Texas. Remember how many should have been interceptions there were against Texas A&M in that comeback win? I mean, there were probably four, maybe five balls in that game that I was like, okay, that should have been picked for sure, you know. And one touchdown went right off Texas A&M defender's hands. I thought that the biggest reason why those struggles were happening for Rosen was because he was trying to get his arm to do things it wasn't yet ready to do. I mean, just take that one deep ball, for example, against Texas A&M. Most people kind of remember that one because it started the comeback a little bit, but goes right off the defender's hands, bounced off his hands to the receiver in the end zone behind him, and that kind of started the UCLA comeback a little bit. But I thought Rosen made a great read. The receiver was open. He made what should have been, you know, an accurate throw. It just didn't have enough on it. And that's what made me worry about his arm. Is it going to get back to that point? But as the season progressed, I really, there were no issues for me with his arm. You know, second half of the season, I mean, if you put on the Colorado game even, the Washington game, even though he only completed 12 passes, he had about six drops in that game. It was absolutely ridiculous to watch his team in that game. But consistently putting balls in the money, fitting him into tight windows. The USC game was probably one of his best of the season. There must have been eight drops in that game. And he was under pressure the whole game, completed, you know, this is not adjusted. This is based with those drops and those getting hit by throw or hit when he threw in there. He completed almost 62% of his passes for 421 yards and three touchdowns. There is the occasional reckless decision with Rosen. There's the occasional, and I don't think he's a comparison to Jay Cutler is a good one, but there's the occasional, screw it, I'm just blasting it into this window.
But that's every quarterback, right?
I mean, I think so. Good ones, yeah.
You have to have that. You have to have that in every quarterback, right? I mean, that's part of the mentality.
You got to be confident, right? You got to trust your arm to get. I mean, I don't think Rosen has an elite level arm. That will be one of the only physical drawbacks that I have with him. I think he has a more than good enough arm that it won't be an issue in the NFL. His velocity, especially between the numbers, when he starts to go far hash, I think things start to crumble a little bit. But remember, the NFL hashes are closer together. You don't worry about that as quite as much in the NFL. So I think that he has everything you need in terms of arm strength. I just don't think it's going to be elite level like Josh Allen or something like that, but everything else he does so well, and he throws on time so well, and I think that's one of the biggest things about playing quarterback is that you have to have the confidence to test those windows. And I think he has enough arm strength to be able to test those windows as well. I mean, his arm's stronger than Deshaun Watson's. That was never a strong point for Watson, I thought, velocity, but it was certainly good enough. And Rosen's arm, I think, is better than Watson's. And it will probably keep getting better. It kept getting better all season long. USC game, second to last game of the year, was the best game that I'd seen from Rosen in terms of his arm strength. So I think as it recovered from that surgery and his muscles got used to throwing again, throwing under pressure, throwing from different platforms, delivery angles, something he also does really well. He threw a great sidearm pass in one of the games that I watched when his base was kind of compromised, and he threw a great sidearm pass for a first down. You know, he can do a lot of those things. Not maybe the degree Baker Mayfield can, but I think as his arm got used to all that again, I think you saw the velocity and some of that other stuff return. So I don't know that it'll ever be a real strong point with Josh Rosen, but I certainly think it's a good enough arm that I don't see any issues with it at the NFL.
So, you know, you mentioned Mayfield there a little bit, and the reason why a lot of people love Mayfield is because he can do so many crazy things with his arm, and that means that he can do so many crazy things like outside of structure with it, right? So, like, and this is a question that's going to lead up into another question, but would you say that Rosen is the best quarterback that you've seen thus far from playing within a structure? You know, like knowing, and when I say play within a structure, I don't even mean necessarily like within the pocket. Like when I talk about within structure, in order to thrive in structure, you also have to be really good in the pre-snap, right? You have to be able to understand where the defenses are going to key in on, where people are creeping up, where the blitz might come from. What's Rosen like in that aspect? We praise Baker Mayfield so much for being great outside of structure, but a lot of the game happens within structure. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, how is Rosen's development there, especially, like, as an underclassman quarterback?
I think both quarterbacks are really good in structure. I think Baker Mayfield makes more plays happen out of structure. So, and when that happens, Ben Roethlisberger suffered from that for years. Ben Roethlisberger, early in his career, made plays happen outside of the pocket and outside of structure all the time. And because of that, people still think that's the kind of quarterback he is. You know, people, you'll hear even announcers during games, they'll say, oh, backyard football Ben, and like, you know, the way that he's so tough to bring down and he can get outside of the pocket under pressure. And despite all that, Ben's actually almost always in the pocket when he throws the football. And so some of those splash plays catch our eyes and we think that's who players are. And Ben's developed in that way too. But I really think Mayfield is really good within structure. But I do think Rosen's a little bit better because Rosen really seeks the comfort of that pocket. But I don't think he's resigned to it. Like, I don't think that Rosen has to play there and he can't do anything when plays break down. I don't think that at all. But Mayfield at times, and I think less so this season, Mark Schofield wrote a good piece about it that I thought was really accurate based on his 2016 tape, that sometimes Mayfield seeks chaos. Like, he'll pass up an easier throw to go downfield or to get outside the pocket and then see what opens up. And I thought he did that a lot less this year and stayed on schedule a lot more. Actually, one of the more areas he improved significantly, but there's still times where that happens. Rosen is almost always ready to keep plays on schedule from the pocket. I mean, you see him move through progressions as fast as any quarterback I've seen since Andrew Luck. I mean, he will come off of – as soon as he sees a defense or he sees something pre-snap he doesn't like, as soon as he confirms it post-snap, he's going backside to another read.
Wow.
And yeah, so it mental processing for Josh Rosen, it's a huge trait. And I think it's one of the biggest strengths with him is his ability to process things quickly in coverage, but not just coverage. Pre-snap, pressure, all the time. All the time he sees it. And sometimes it's not a matter of even making an adjustment. He knew a couple times, I'm probably going to get clocked if this guy comes. Because in certain protection schemes, you have five or six guys protecting. And let's say the defense sends one more than you can protect for, or they overload a certain side. The quarterback has to recognize that pre-snap and know, if this guy comes, we don't have a blocker for him. That's on me. I've got to get the ball out. So I've got to know where my hot read is, or I've got to change the play to give myself one. One of those things pre-snap, he consistently recognized and did that pre-snap, consistently made great throws under pressure despite knowing he was going to take a shot on certain plays, just had that mentality like, I know he's coming, I know I'm going to get my bell rung, but I know I've got to make this play. And he hung in the pocket, and he made plays under pressure, and he knew pre-snap, he wasn't surprising to him or anything, so he was able to set up, deliver an accurate ball despite pressure coming. So I think that he's one of the more mentally sharp quarterbacks, which to me gets back to, well, how do we criticize Josh Rosen for work ethic or commitment or anything like that. And I know there's those rumors out there, but watch Josh Rosen throw. Mechanically, he's basically flawless. I mean, it's why he's so accurate. His placement's so good. There's almost nothing to be desired. And he's suffering from 6 to 7. I mean, I'm not kidding. Wait, when you put on the Josh Allen games and watch him one by one by one, I think he actually has some playmakers with the ball in his hands in the offense, but getting them to keep the ball in their hands is unbelievable. At one point, this is not a joke, Trevor. At one point, he delivered 3 balls in perfect spots for his players and 3 drops in a row. In a row! First, second, third down. I don't know that I've really seen that. I can't recall seeing that before, where 3 perfect balls were dropped. I mean, it's that kind of when you put on Josh Rosen tape, it's that kind of, you're just like, what is happening? Like, but I think some of his guys did create with the ball in their hands, but getting them to keep it in their hands was just a chore. But you never saw him get frustrated. You never saw him show out a teammate or lose his temper or anything like that. Not that I would have even cared that much if it had happened. But I'm just saying, at one point, does he get credit for, you know, he never threw anybody under the bus at UCLA, and he easily could have. He had no protection. He had barely had a running game, and his receivers were totally unreliable. At some point, we got to start giving him high marks for that, right?
No, I'm totally with you. No, that's why you can't just stat book scout, right? You know, you have a lot of, oh, here's, he was this for this with this many incompletions. Yep. And it goes both ways. There's a lot more there's certainly a lot more that goes in the quarterback position. That's why it's so polarizing. So I asked you that question, and the reason why I wanted to ask you, and you and I have talked about this a little bit earlier this season, but is there an offensive type that fits him the best? Because, you know, when you talk about going number one overall, you want to have the talent, but you got to be kind of versatile, right? You got to be able to do it all. So, like, is there a certain offense that he would thrive in more than others, or maybe a coach?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest positives with Josh Rosen, and why I think that there's a chance I could have him ahead of Baker Mayfield, even though I may like Baker Mayfield more, if that makes sense, is because when I watch Rosen, and Mark Schofield brings this up all the time, and we're going to have him on the show, I'm sure, at some point this draft season, maybe twice, to talk quarterbacks, because he's the quarterback guy that both of us trust the most, I think. And his takeaway with Josh Rosen, he and I always talk about, is that Rosen is such a universal fit for systems. And I don't know that Baker Mayfield's quite as universal fit, although he could be better in one specific system, if that makes sense. So with Rosen, you talk about an Earhart Perkins type offense, such as what, you know, Pittsburgh runs a lot of those concepts, New England, a ton of concepts like that. I think that's probably a best fit for him. There's a lot of short to intermediate stuff. Terminology is a little bit less so, but you have to be able to communicate things quickly, I think. And, you know, a good relationship between coach and coordinator or coordinator and quarterback are important, I think. And I think that he's able to handle a lot of that weight for the rest of the offense. And I think that Rosen can do that. Now, West Coast system is, you know, he fits that really perfectly too. I mean, on timing throws, and, you know, you have to make quick decisions. Quick release is really important. Think Alex Smith's skill set, but with way more upside and way more confidence to threaten tight windows down the field. That's Rosen. So, you know, he can run like a juiced up West Coast offense type of system as well. Or you look at a Coryell type offense, like what Arizona runs and Pittsburgh has some elements of, and like what Dirk Cutter ran in Tampa Bay. I'm speaking in past tense there because I'm assuming that it's a game over for Dirk Cutter. So I'm sorry if it's not, but
you would be, you know, nothing official yet.
Probably correct.
I wouldn't correct you if that was your assumption.
So I think that in an offense like that, he could also be successful, especially the way his arms come back as the season went on. Again, I don't think it's an elite arm, but I still think it's good enough. Like, you're going to be able to put vertical concepts in with Josh Rosen and not worry about anything. Partially because he throws probably the best deep ball, the most consistent deep ball in the class. I did not think I would say that after week one, but watch the way it came along in the second half of the season. I mean, he found his touch and his range again. Sometimes that takes time. When you're coming off an injury and you didn't play much last year and you were hurting when you did play, it takes time to kind of regain that touch and the range and the feel for the deep ball and where your receiver's going to be and, you know, who can you lead and who can you not, and how do you throw the deep post as opposed to the 9 route on the outside. And, you know, a lot of those things take time to come back, and that came back for Josh Rosen. I mean, he delivered. I'm writing an article about it actually for NDT Scouting. Hopefully it'll be up today or tomorrow. But he delivers balls accurately over the top on a consistent basis. Really nice touch accuracy, and even under pressure, he does it consistently. So I think that he really is kind of a universal fit, which is why I expect him to go first overall, why I think he'll be more coveted than Baker Mayfield, because I don't think that teams will feel like they have to scheme anything for Josh Rosen to succeed. I think he's not as physically talented as Andrew Luck, but there's a similarity in the fact that this guy could carry an offense in the NFL level. I really believe that if he's fully healthy and there's no commitment issues, which I have not seen any evidence for there to be commitment issues with his mechanical and mental refinement, I think he can be that type of a difference maker in the NFL.
Well,
I'm high on him. I got excited about him because, you know, I wasn't sure after the early season games. And
right,
the 2016 right. take didn't give us a ton to go off of. And, you know, because he wasn't fully healthy and then he was hurt and the offense was a train wreck and it was new. And I mean, offense was still bad this year. So, I mean, I think his best football could be ahead of him. I really think that. I think we'll go first overall. I think teams will love the way that he throws the football. The only question for Rosen is going to be, does he get Connor cooked? Now, Connor Cook was also bad at football, so that's a big difference between the two.
QB1, baby.
Oh, shoot. I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot he was your QB1. Rosen, I think, is going to be much more impressive to them in the football context than Connor Cook was. Like, let's be honest. If Connor Cook was impressive to the NFL football-wise, he'd have gone a lot higher than, what, the third round or wherever he went. It was the fourth rounder. I can't remember. But I think Rosen, when I say Connor Cook, means not be the first overall pick. He's going first round. Unless he kills somebody, he's going first round. That's even where we're out, Josh Rosen.
Even then, we've seen the NFL be pretty lean.
Even then, yes. Even then. You can't pass up franchise changers at quarterback. So now I may refine my stance a little bit on this class. Because I've said it's a down year for quarterbacks, and I do worry about the depth. But I think you have two legitimate franchise caliber quarterbacks at the top of the draft. I liked Deshaun Watson in that capacity last year. I thought Mitch Trubisky was really reliant on where he went. He could be that guy. Patrick Mahomes could be that guy, but I wasn't sold on them 100% as guys who were franchise type. I think Mayfield and Rosen, you know, there's not going to be many spots where they can land, I think, where those guys aren't going to transform their team at the next level. I think Lamar Jackson has a ton of potential. Other than that, I think it really falls off. I can't get excited about anybody else right now. I've got a couple guys still to watch, but
yeah, but that's plenty of names. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not supposed to have like
right.
eight quarterbacks that are going to be franchise quarterbacks.
But that's how it was talked about, right? All offseason.
Well,
six guys going in the first round.
people thought Darnold was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
and so
if Darnold goes back to school, the NFL has already been made it pretty clear from what we've seen anyway. Well, that they don't like Mason Rudolph. And from what the reports are, they don't really like Lamar Jackson. So, and I think they like Mayfield and Rosen enough that they could go high. But we might only see two quarterbacks in the first round. Darnold goes back to school.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Nothing would surprise me, obviously. I'm just saying.
NFL's
crazy. You know how they be tripping. Hey, if you guys haven't done it, fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 20 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. And you can join one right now for a week 15 in the end. Or is it 14? Week 15. No, 15. Week 15. The best part, play for cold hard cash, and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On NFL Draft listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. Great way to win yourself some money. Very easy and affordable way to win yourself some money this weekend for football. Trev and I have put up a league the last 3 weeks. We'll have one again this week on draft. Again, draft in your app store. Just search draft or go to draft.com and you can play for free with the promo code LONFL and decide whether you like it from there. But I think it's been a lot of fun. We've had a great time with it. I know a lot of listeners have joined in, had a great time with it. They've won all the money, Trev, because
I know,
you
man.
And I sure I haven't know. Won anything.
Dude, it's not fair. They get a money back guarantee, and it's basically just like, oh, if we take Trevor and John's money, sure, we'll take it. And if not, I don't lose anything.
Exactly. It's literally free money. You don't see that very often. So make sure you guys check out draft.com and jump in on those games. We'll post one up over on Twitter at some point this weekend for you guys to jump in on as well. Trev, you've got to watch Josh Rosen in depth. I've got to watch Taven Bryan in depth because that's your dude. Taven Bryan, yes. Taven Bryan. I thought you said Bryant the other day when you were on the podcast talking about him, and I was so confused because I thought his last name was Bryan, but I must have just misheard you because that's one of your dudes, obviously. So, and then I was all thrown off by that. That and Dubuque. Dubuque. Whatever it is. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. What are we talking about tomorrow? We're talking about NFL. Funerals. Yes, we got funerals for NFL teams. And we've got going to talk about rookies. Then we got Fan Friday on Friday. And then we're back Monday, bigger and better than ever. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.